This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, here we go. Mike McCarthy press conference at the Star here on your home of the Cowboys.
So, expression of emotion, you know, on Sundays always creates potential narratives and so forth. But based off our work today, you know, what needed to be said has been said, and we're on to the Giants. We put in first, second, and third down today. So it's been a full day.
Mike Todd Archer with ESPN. What needed to be said today in your mind?
Well, just like anything. I mean, I'm not going to get into specifics or, you know, this isn't, you know, show and tell. It's about what being accountable and we didn't have a whole lot of time to spend on corrections. So we did that in the beginning part of it, and we had to move right into the Giants. So every time you compete, there's plenty of corrections. You know, we obviously had too many. But we're still in a position to win the game. So that's something that, will not get lost, you know, as part of the evaluation, because it's factual. And the things that you look at, just the one statistic that stands out for, you know, over top of all the other ones where the execution was not in our favor, you know, we were plus two in the big play category. And so that tells you, puts you, you know, you're in position to win a game. You know, we got to make one more of those big plays.
Offensively, with how you guys played for most of the fourth quarter, you're in a two-minute situation. Considering the slow starts, do you ever think like that's a way to kind of jumpstart to open up that way, or can you go tempo that?
No, I mean, we know huddle offense is, you know, we've done it in the past. I've done it throughout my whole career, but that's not where we are right now. You know, we need to, you know, the effort's there, the execution is what we'll be focused on.
John Mishota with The Athletic. When we talked to Jordan Lewis today, he mentioned over and over again about having to be more detailed on defense. When you watch the game over again, just on the defensive side, is it the small detail thing, or what do you think it is?
Well, it's totally small details. It's all the way through the team. I mean, the defense had, you know, more of it than you'd like. But the details, knowing the details breeds confidence. Confidence makes you play faster, keeps you connected. We need to do that throughout our whole team. So we got work to do.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. We've talked about the details the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Is it a little frustrating that we're continuing to have these discussions with you?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you got to look at, you know, what they are. You know, I mean, continued mistakes are the things you have to definitely eliminate, especially if it's, you know, the pre-snap penalties. You know, those. I mean, to start the game the way we did, I mean, that, you know, that's a kick in the ass. I mean, you take the ball for a reason. And you got three penalties. You know, obviously on the kickoff, and then, you know, two on the first drive. So I mean, that's not the way you want to start a football game. And you know, that's so. I mean, it's those things that you got to make sure you stay on top of. We're gonna have some bumpy times. That's part of, you know, just where we are as far as new defense. You know, young players playing, but we need to be better. And we had a chance to win that game. The slow start did not help.
Bell and Carson, where do they stay? You got a short week. What do they stay?
Yeah, tomorrow I'll give you a better idea. I thought they both did what they needed to do today, but yeah, it's we'll know more tomorrow with both those guys.
Saad Youssef, The Athletic. Mike, where do you stand kind of on pre-snap motion offensively? What does it do? What advantage can it give the offense when you do implement it, and how much do you prefer to have that in your offense?
I mean, it's part of the, you know, winning the pre-snap potentially. Whether you're, you know, trying to change, you know, challenge the odd discipline of the defense, you know, create landmarks, get in reduced splits, get out of reduced splits. Yeah, I mean, there's benefits to it. I think like anything, you have to have a menu of a number of things in this league, especially over a 17-game period.
We talked to you last year after the San Francisco game about CeeDee Lamb and his body language and stuff. Mm-hmm. I know you asked about it last night, but just the next day, do you have any conversations with him after that?
The only thing I'm worried about, not worried about, the only thing I'm focused on our passing game is we got to get a completion percentage up. So it starts with the play caller. You throw the ball 51 times and you're not north of 60%. That's where my focus is, and that's where everybody's focus needs to be.
Yeah. Nick Harris, Bulwer, Star Telegram. I know you said you guys don't have a ton of time for corrections this week, but with Jordan Lewis talking about details, Michael Parsons last night talking about accountability, how do you kind of work those conversations in this?
Pretty dramatic there, Nick. I tell you, you must practice that one. Jeez, I mean, hey, Thursday schedule. I mean, that's where we're on. I mean, it's we didn't win the game, so I think that's part of where we are. I mean, so. Yeah, I think they do a good job of, you know, answering your questions. It's emotional after the game, so I'm not ever going to referee emotion on the field or after a game.
Aaron Kasnitz, Lone Star Live. Michael Smith played a whole ton in there. I think he had a career high in snaps. How would you evaluate the defensive line in general, and why do you think he?
I can't give you really evaluations because actually we didn't go through grading evaluation today, so I don't have the one-on-one evaluations that. So, but yeah, I thought Mozzie, you know, especially the week that he went through, you know, for him to go out there and play as much as he did, you know, I was proud of him.
Ed. Mike Edwarder, WFAA. Given what you've seen from the three running backs, what's your inclination as far as this being a week you might look at down the
coach? I'm not here to make any, you know, decisions or proclamations on what's next. So, like I said, we got first, second, and third down in.
Skyler Dixon with the AP. I think you've talked to us in the past about, you know, getting off to quick starts kind of being on the menu of prep during the week. I just wondered, after two slow starts in a row, is there any feeling on your part of kind of re-emphasizing that, and how much you do that during a week, or I guess a short week too?
Re-emphasize over how we already do it, or?
Yeah, I mean, you re-emphasize. Hey.
I mean, it's a short week. You know, we have a session on, we call it Fast Start and Furious Finish Friday, so it's an emphasis on the beginning of the game, how we feel the beginning of the game is going to go. We spend a lot of time at the end of the game. You know, we put a lot of time invested in situations, so we won't have a traditional Friday this week, so we got to build that into the Saturday-type schedule, which would be Wednesday. So, you know, the Thursday schedule puts you on a different schedule. So, but we'll still emphasize it.
Garrett Podell, CBS Sports. Mike, you talked about during the draft sort of building out your team with the idea of, you know, who you're going to see regularly facing Dexter Lawrence and the Giants D-line with a younger O-line. What's the challenge of that, and how are you preparing those guys for that?
Well, I mean, Dexter's a huge challenge regardless of, you know, who you line up with as far as, you know, youth, you know, in particular with our young guys. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of respect for him. He's played very well so far. I mean, you can see it. I mean, he's a presence in there. He demands, you know, double teams and so forth. But I think their line as a whole, I've been impressed with so far.
Christy Scales, Cowboys Radio on the Fan. Short week. It is a familiar opponent, but they do have a new defensive coordinator. So what kind of wrinkle is that? And I know you went against them with the Titans. Is there anything to pull from that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Kellen called it back then, but, you know, it's different. You know, it's something that, you know, in the summer we talked about. You know, you got three games to look at. They've all been different, frankly, the way he's called it. So that has stood out. But, yes, we've done some historical work on them.
Mike Lickie played 30 snaps yesterday, and some of it was in protection and things like that. What do you like about him in protection and also as a guy who catches the ball for you?
I think Hunter's a fine football player. He's really earned these opportunities. He's, you know, he's a four-down player. He's not just a fullback. He can be a one-back. You know, he can be a, you know, three-surface player, four-surface player. I mean, he had a big catch, you know, on the keep there on third and one. So he's earned those opportunities, and, you know, I think it has been reflected in his play time.
Coach, Aisha Morrison, DallasCowboys.com. You mentioned the lack of completion percentage on the offensive side of the ball. We need to get that up. The Ravens secondary, real feisty, playing a lot of press as well. With the completion percentage being down, the separation was actually, it was difficult for the receivers to separate it sometimes. How do you take on that responsibility as a play caller? Do you feel like you need to, in those moments, do things to help those guys, or you feel like that's delegated to them winning their matchups?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's all part of it. You have a game plan. You have in-game decisions. You know, we went to a two-minute, you know, there in the fourth quarter. Definitely those are the things you're talking about there during the course of the game, and that's part of the adjustment.
When you look at your team right now, do you have to say, do they understand what's happening, or do you have to just say, look, we're in a two-game losing streak, we got to get our act together, or do they know we got to get our act together? How much do you kind of talk to them about those types of things?
Yeah, I talk to them every day. I have a team meeting every day. I have an opportunity to obviously talk to the offense more. But, yeah, we understand where we are. We're 1-2. Yeah. We've got our first division game in front of us.
All righty. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
There it is, the Mike McCarthy press conference here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Wow, some tense moments in there. Sounded like he, had a go at Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
Spicy.
But frustration is definitely running high, probably short on sleep as well with the New York Giants game, a must win. I don't know how confident I can be right now the Cowboys are going to beat the Giants, a team who also handled Cleveland yesterday fairly handily. What do you think, Lucius? Are we breaking here? Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll recap more of that. Maybe get you some football's finest and everything breaking here in the world of sports throughout the day. That's coming up.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Next here in the nation. Here we go, hour four, G-Bag Nation on a Cowboys Monday on 105.3 The Fan. Just coming off of a Mike McCarthy press conference here on your home of the Cowboys. Mike McCarthy said the team will know more tomorrow with cornerback Kalen Carson's shoulder and Marquise Bell's ankle after the two did not practice today. It got spicy a few times, talking about team leaders saying players need to be more professional and not play hero ball. Based off our work, what needs to be said was said, and we're on to the Giants. He did not specify further on what was said today. What did you guys take away from Mike McCarthy's presser? Is there's no doubt his frustration is high as it's ever been here with the Raiders team.
Definitely in defensive mode for sure. And it's not good right now. And he's not somebody that really likes to be peppered with all these questions about his team's issues. And he's already lashing out. This is 3 weeks into the season. My gosh, this is going to get long for him. I wonder, because people are already doing the thing where they're projecting, hey, where does McCarthy lose his job here? And I wonder if Jerry takes that thing all the way just because he doesn't want to pay somebody to not be here. He knows it's almost more of a sticking it to McCarthy to have to grind out a season like this if his team just sucks. I could see Jerry just, no, we're just gonna finish the season out with you, yeah, and you're going to be miserable the whole time.
The minute that Mike loses the team, the minute that they stop playing for him, that's where you need to start to watch where the change is made. He did it with Wade Phillips.
Yeah, that Packers Sunday night game.
Yeah.
They just quit.
They quit on Wade on a Sunday night in Green Bay. And when that happened, that's when he made the determination to go with Jason Garrett.
That was at 1-7.
Yeah. So the minute you see them not play for him, then that's when you need to start to be worried if you're Mike McCarthy.
I think if you don't bounce back Thursday and you're going on the road Thursday night football, which is always, you know, worth a couple of more points for the home team, then the Steelers game, it's going to be tough to score on them, you know. And then the Lions and the Niners, you know, this could be 1-6. I feel like if you don't beat the Giants, things could really get away from you. Going to Atlanta, I feel like right now that's kind of like a coin flip game. It feels like neither team is that good. Eagles, you know, Texans, Commanders, and then back to the Giants. The schedule will soften up a bit for you as we get to the other side of Halloween and through December. But then, you know, you're gonna have the Bengals and the Eagles and the Buccaneers in there sprinkled around the Commanders. So, you know, at this point I would bet on Mike McCarthy still making it to the end of the year. But if the frustration is there, at some point you need to like change head coaches just so you can like cleanse the palate. You know, if frustration mounts and everybody's, you know, angry, then one way of trying to, like, at least get a fresh start, I think, would be to fire the head coach and put a new voice up there.
It's just so funny. Like, who would it be? If the defense is this bad, how do you promote Mike Zimmer? It's not going to be Shoddy.
Bones.
Foster. It becomes Bones.
Wow. It becomes Bones, yeah.
One guy who you could say, you know, is doing a hell of a job.
Wasn't the assistant head coach Al Harris?
Bones has a head coach vibe to him, though.
Maybe Al.
Al has the assistant head coach title. I think they did that because of, you know, him not going to
Washington
Commanders.
Yeah.
But my gut feeling would be that Bones would probably be your guy.
Do you think Mike McCarthy makes it to the end of the year at this point?
I do.
Wolchuk,
yeah,
do you follow?
Yeah, I do too, yes.
Yeah, I think the stubborn nature, I think Jerry would rather him just have to sit in this disaster.
Yeah. Now the whispers you'll start to hear, though, as we get to October – and then into November will be about Belichick and guys like that.
Yeah, let's take a break and we'll come back. We'll hit the expressway and talk about what Belichick said. Is he already angling for this Cowboys job? I would definitely not appreciate it if I was one Mike Zimmer and I saw what Bill had to say this morning with Pat McAfee. We're back to give you that and the rest of the developing world of sports, and then we'll hit the expressway and get to LA Live here coming up at 5:40. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan. Shoot, yeah, it's time now for the expressway brought to you by the On Time Experts. A lot going on this Cowboys Monday here on 105.3 The Fan. We have LA Live coming up here at 5:40. Bill Belichick with Pat McAfee today says this is the same thing that happened last year with the Cowboys. They get beat when they fall behind early. Teams run against them. I think there's enough talent in Dallas to get things straightened out. Man, do you think he's angling for the gig when he says that?
Sure. He really likes Jerry. He really does. He's trying his best to, you know, make Jerry look good in any way he can. And so, yeah, I think he would love the opportunity to coach this team.
We all have a tremendous amount of reverence for Mike Zimmer. Does anybody think that if Bill Belichick stepped in, was coaching this defense right now, that it wouldn't be historically bad?
No, that's a good question. You can't help but think it would be better. I mean, even when the Patriots sucked over these last few years without Brady, they were still bringing good defense to the table consistently.
Matthew Jordan.
And he's usually able to get the most out of guys, even if they're, you know, kind of just average names, he gets the most out of them. So
I definitely
think it would be, well, he drafts below average names. Yeah, so yeah. He has to wait to see that they're decent in the NFL to be like, okay, now I'll take you and I'll get even more out of you. But, yeah, so I do think it would be better than what Zimmer's got going on right now, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, as a defensive coach, I would agree. I mean, it's nothing against Zim, because I do think this is more of a personnel issue, because you're now seeing the same thing under two defensive coordinators with largely the majority of the same players on the defensive side of the football. Now, a couple of new young guys, and maybe they're making mistakes because they're young, right? Overshown, Leofau, Nealon. It's their third game they've ever played. Carson. There's going to be growing pains there, but I do think Bill Belichick's pedigree is a defensive mind. He's arguably one of, if not the greatest defensive coordinators to ever play, with what he was doing under Bill Parcells when the Giants were winning Super Bowls and stopping, you know, the Bills and the 49ers to get to championships. And then he did it throughout his tenure in New England, going up against the Colts and then, you know, winning Super Bowls, of course. I mean, what did they win? Six?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I
always had a good defense.
And one of the things I'm guessing, like, Bill Belichick probably would not have allowed for them to handle the defensive tackle position the way they did this offseason. You know, he would have probably tried to not allow them to wait until mid-August to just throw, crap at the wall.
This is one of the reasons why I don't think he would get this job, because then he upsets the apple cart. We've talked about this before, that he comes in and he's like, you're going to do what? What do you mean the caps? What? What are you going to do with the cap? No. What? You know, that's
you're going to trust Mozzie Smith and that's it.
Yeah. You're going to do what? You know, and there's going to be a lot of questioning by that.
Yeah.
You know, now if he comes in and takes the Parcells approach where I need the gig, you know, I want to still coach, you know, Bill Parcells had some personnel control until that first round pick came around, and it was like, we're going to take DeMarcus Ware here. We're not going to take, our guy there from, end up with, Sean Merriman. We're not going to take that guy. But there's things that, that I think that Bill Parcells came in and said, okay, Jerry, fine. Okay, fine. I wonder if Belichick would do the same thing, or would Jerry give him the autonomy to do whatever he wanted to do?
We don't want that. You want the good and not the bad with Belichick, and yeah. I just don't know if that's realistic.
Well, that's where, like I said, I think that Steven, this is just me talking, I think Steven and Will would fight like hell to try and keep things going the way they want to go in personnel. Draft and develop, sign our own, those kinds of things.
Yeah, and I just don't think the good is worth the negative on Bill Belichick. I mean, you've had Dan Quinn and Mike Zimmer in here, and you have very similar issues popping up. If Belichick could make it better with this personnel group, I think it would be just very marginal improvements. I just don't see how, you could take this many problems and fix them all. Belichick never won anything without Tom Brady. But it is definitely something to be interested in, because I feel like right now Mike McCarthy's dead man walking. We know.
Yeah, for sure.
That to me is the selling point with Bill, because I agree with everything you're saying there, Brian. I the Cowboys might not be alone in that. I don't know, looking at Bill's track record, if any team is going to hire him and say, we're giving you the keys to go ahead and handle the personnel side of it, because you have not done a good job there.
Well, maybe to get him, you have to do that. I don't see him taking a job unless he has some say in what's going on.
Then he might not end up getting another job. That's very possible.
But somebody will be desperate enough to do it.
Yeah.
And this guy down the road might be desperate enough to do it.
But if you talk to him and he's not handling player personnel, but he does have, as a head coach, what Bill Parcells was able to do, where now
the roster,
he's a guy that the players will respect. That's, I think, been the issue ever since Bill left, right? And you lived that.
Yeah.
But Bill was the one guy, like, I heard about this all the time growing up. Chris Arnold was talking to me about it today. The head coach, instinct fear, right, in the players. They don't fear the head coach, because Jerry's out there in the hallway doing a meeting after the game with the media. Poor Mike McCarthy's here. He's got two or three people that are in there talking to him. And Jerry's going to say one thing, Mike's going to say another. Jerry's trading for Trey Lance, supposedly. Mike knows nothing about it. Who really counts here? Who really is the say-so? Who's the final decision-maker? It's Jerry.
Yeah, you need clear leadership.
Yeah, why do I have any respect or care for you, Mike? And now, you didn't get an extension. It's 1 year for you. Hell, Mike might stink as a coach. I don't know. Maybe they don't respect him because of that. But Bill Belichick is going to garner respect in the locker room. That's something at least they'd have.
Yeah.
But I don't see them. I mean, they're going to end up hiring, if they lose Mike or don't re-sign him, some coach that has a track record of they've been a head coach before. Maybe it's Vrabel. Maybe it's Belichick. Name whatever guy else that's out there. I don't see them ever going and being, okay, let's get creative here and bring in Clint Kubiak or Ben Johnson or Bobby Slowick or whatever the sexy young guy is that doesn't have any skins on the wall.
Where I'll disagree with you on that, and I like what you said because I think it's the right way to go, but I disagree with you just for the fact if it turns into Steven and Will being able to control things, you're better doing that with a first-year head coach than you are with a guy that's a veteran coach.
Well, again, Steven and Will are a different story to Jerry. Steven and Will might want to do that. But Jerry right now has the final say in the organization. Oh, no. That's why this is all on Jerry.
No. It could be Steven and Will trying to convince Jerry not to hire Bill Belichick. That's where this thing could be. You know, and then now you have the struggle right there. But Will,
and I believe Steven would win that.
That's kind of where I'm thinking too.
Right around the time that they took Zach Martin instead of Johnny, I think it became official.
Yeah.
You know, like the willingness of Jerry to overrule, he knows. The son's the one in there rolling up his sleeve and putting in the work and, you know, has the perspective that you would want to have the final say on things.
If they don't hire Belichick, I just don't see them hiring any fresh name that we would be excited about.
I just don't see it happening.
You need whoever takes this job, it needs to be the legitimate interview of, okay, number one question is, how do you help my quarterback?
Amen.
You're married to this quarterback for the next 4 years.
And that's something he's getting no help from the sideline.
I think what they're going to try to do is, you know, they'll get a traditional coach and they'll try to get a great running back, a bell cow, and great offensive lineman and try to, you know, steamroll, have the road grading, terrific offensive line coach. I think, you know, we're probably fooling ourselves if we think they are forward thinking enough to go out there and find one of the coaches off the Shanahan tree or the McVay tree. Now, they might get lucky and accidentally get one. You know, that's possible.
They've done it at the quarterback position twice now.
Yeah.
They get lucky with Romo, they get lucky with Dak, so maybe they can finally get lucky with a head coach.
The Todd Archer quote on how bad this is just incredible from his story. The Cowboys allowing 557 rushing yards, the most through three games since 1963.
Yeah.
5.4 an attempt, the worst through three games since 79. They have given up 8 rushing touchdowns, the most in franchise history through three games. So, you know, and it's not like they've played world beaters. You know, neither one of the teams they've played are a really strong contender. They're making everybody look that amazing.
Dude, I mean, that's what was disheartening during the pregame show leading up to kickoff yesterday was seeing, okay, the Giants are handling the Browns and this Eagles defense. They're playing the best football they've played in probably two seasons versus an offense that just completely embarrassed you a week before. Yeah. So, and then the Ravens came limping in. Their offense had plenty of question marks. And again, they just undressed you.
You hear what Michael Irvin said about the Cowboys? I'd never worried about that old America's Team moniker, but now I am. When we start talking about the lack of people at training camp and Jerry, we talk about it all the time, how much Jerry wants to promote. That means you want to be in front of people. And if no one's showing up, that means there's a lack of belief in Cowboys Nation. I don't know if that matters a lot. You know, I think for Michael Irvin, it's important to have that level of attention, and he's so proud of it. But I would give up the moniker of America's Team if we can just get the bones, the foundation of a quality football team right now. I mean, that's kind of meaningless if you ask me. The Cowboys have opened as 4.5-point favorites against the Giants. Guys, we only have a couple of days to get our hands around this game. Brian, I'm sure you're going to jump in and start previewing their offense and defense in the corner.
Yeah, we got that covered for we'll do offense tomorrow and defense on Wednesday.
But after they fairly convincingly beat the Browns, and we've seen the Cowboys struggle for 2 weeks, so this is crazy, but, you know, what do you think about that point spread? How is this game going to go? Is this two bad football teams facing off against each other, or is this a Cowboys getting right against the Giants?
Oh, it's a Cowboys get right game. It is two bad teams facing off against each other.
You think it's a no-brainer cover? You think the absolutely line makes sense?
100% the Cowboys will cover that. They own the Giants. Dak plays great in the division. They're built to win within the division. They will go to New York and take care of business. They'll be 2-2. They'll be feeling a little bit good, but it doesn't change the fact that, no, they're not a good football team. But they're going to go and handle the New York Giants. That's the way they do this under Mike McCarthy.
Sounds like the Giants are getting pressure on people.
You know, well, they like should be. Yeah, I mean, geez, they got Brian Burns and Thibodeau. Lawrence.
Yeah, that's what I was just kind of wondering how, you know, blocking their front, how that's going to go.
No, but they've got a good front, but I feel like even over the last couple of years, there's been moments where they have, and Dak's really good against the blitz. He finds a way to pick apart the Giants. I'm not really in the least bit worried about them. Now, look, is it possible they lose? Does Devin Singletary run all over them? Does Daniel Jones maybe get creative takes off and run? Sure, there's a recipe there where it could happen. I've seen enough Cowboys Giants throughout my life. They ain't losing to the Giants.
Yeah, and I guess we can't overreact to what the Giants just did to the Browns.
No, the Browns are bad. I mean, we just went through the Deshaun Watson stat, and I tried to fight after the Browns got a win in week two, that maybe they weren't too bad. Now, the Browns stink. Deshaun Watson, worse expected points added through 3 weeks than any Browns quarterback since 2000. We read the list. Guys, it's horrible. The Browns aren't any good. So Malik Nabers is a badass for the Giants. Yeah. But I don't think anything else on that offense is really worrisome.
Yeah, but you're in the same place as them. That's the only team you could beat.
Yeah, why it's two bad teams. I just think the Cowboys are lesser.
But generally, yeah, we know the larger sample size is the Cowboys versus these Giants.
I do think we have to keep an open mind idea, though, Wolchuk, to the idea that the Cowboys have become that bad. You know, how many young, unproven players, either rookies or second-year guys, are they leaning on strongly? It's like half their team.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and I think it happened kind of suddenly. And we saw that the rookies in Oxnard were impressive, and we're like, wow, that's a guy that's going to have a nice career. But when the season starts, they're still rookies. And they're not even rookies that are going to, you know, like make the all rookie team. So I just feel like we're going through a tremendous amount of growing pains right now. And it's, I don't know if it can get any worse, but it's going to be a while before it gets better. 214 says they'll absolutely hire Kellen Moore as their next head coach. That's good. That's good. 817. Here's the other thing. The Browns had to play from way behind, so they couldn't run. Can you imagine the three-game numbers of that if that game was close?
Well, they didn't have their running back, too.
Or their offensive line.
Offensive line. Yeah.
They were a mash unit coming in week one, so that helped you in a huge way. And the Giants just took advantage of that offensive line there as well with Cleveland. So I don't know. The 4.5 seems interesting to me. On the road, short week, and historically bad defense right now. Devin Singletary's running the football. I don't know. I'm still a little bit queasy about it.
Indeed. Okay, other stuff happening in the world of sports. Quinn Ewers questionable for the Longhorns game against Mississippi State. After that first pick thrown by Arch, are you more interested in seeing Quinn Ewers walk back in there, or do you want to see Arch go with it? What if you're in charge right now and you could snap your fingers, what do you want to see happen?
If I'm a Texas fan, I think that ultimately you have national championship aspirations. You are the best team in the country. I think the guy who gives you the best chance to win that right now is still Quinn Ewers. So I think you could always end up going to Arch if need be, but you saw some of the growing pains there. There were some misses. Now you also see some unbelievable, I mean, geez, the dude's got a cannon arm too. For as fast as he is, Arch can throw the heck out of the ball, but he also missing some wide open guys that could be huge touchdowns as well. So there are those growing pains. You're trying to win a national championship, okay? So you got to have the guy with some experience in there. Ewers today is still better than Arch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's really a topic in the walls of Austin, right? Sark is pretty much committed to Ewers. That's his team. But to me, it's very intriguing. Like, if Quinn does not play well against Oklahoma, I don't think he's going to play this week against Mississippi State. I think that'll be Arch.
They have an open week, too, before the Oklahoma game.
Like, that's, yeah, and that's what it's going to take. Like, Quinn's going to have to then just not look good against OU or against Georgia. And then maybe there can be a door that cracks where it's like, okay, we could talk about Arch. But right now, they're going right back to Quinn. They're not leaving Arch in there.
You know, with Quinn, you're probably not too far away from his next injury either. So it might just take care of itself. Former USC running back and 2005 Heisman winner Reggie Bush filing a lawsuit against the university, the Pac-12, and the NCAA seeking compensation for NIL during his time with the program. Bush's legal team says that the three organizations earned significant compensation thanks to Bush's significant popularity and prominence in TV contracts, merchandise sales, and media rights. I just think there's no end to that. You know, I think that's one of those things where every single one of these players has a case, but they're going to end up protecting the billionaire entities when it comes down to it. Because if you open this one and side in favor of Bush, I think it sets a precedent And maybe that's a precedent that needs to be explored. You know, maybe those organizations, you know, should be drained of their coffers, in for really what was theft. You know, that's the way I look at it over a multi-decade, half-century kind of process. All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now to go back into that Pimp Cup where Lucius has L.A. Live.
You guys been killing that football conversation all day. Doing pretty good at it, getting all the angles. I just want to let the Tolos know our football coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile.
There you go.
Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. All right, chumps, let's do this.
Well, all right, you squares, it's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
The third Super Bowl that I had a chance to be involved in, I made a deal with the man upstairs and said, if you'll just do it for me, I'll never ask again. This will be it. If you'll let me win this third Super Bowl, I won't ask again. I've been trying to retrade that deal for the last 20 years. And I've put a lot on the line. I'm going to shove almost every bit of it out there this time if he'll make this deal with me and let me go one more time.
Oh, Jerry.
Say it ain't so.
Oh, Jerry.
Can't tempt fate like that.
Boy, I tell you what, Jerry. I tell you what. L.A. Live. This is L.A. Live for Monday, September 23rd, 2024. It is a Monday Friday here in L.A. Live. Word to the Dallas group that is no longer together, PPT, for coming up with that name. Monday Friday vibes in L.A. Live. It's just where I go over some stuff I've seen over the weekend. Just talk to the boys about it. You know, some things I thought I would never see, like a Toyota 4Runner on a wrecker.
Wreck?
Yeah. It wasn't in a wreck. It was just up. Like, I've never seen a Toyota 4Runner not work.
That is amazing. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they can go up to 400K miles.
Yeah, they're dependable.
We have one in my
household for a good reason.
Yeah. Exactly, man. They hold their value. It's a good car. I've never seen one on the tow truck on the record like that. I wonder what that person did to that damn Toyota. Because, I mean, it takes a tank to kill it.
My guess would be 20,000 miles, no oil change.
It's got to be, dog. It has to be something insane. Speaking of Toyotas, have you seen that Lexus GX550, I believe it is?
Got to Google it, huh?
Oh, that boy's beautiful. Dude. I got to get my money up. That thing is beautiful right there, boy.
So sick.
Yeah.
It's like a Lexus G-Wagon.
It is beautiful, bro. Yeah, I got to get my money up. I got to talk to mama. What can we do here? All right, anyway, G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P. Hit me up, man. Don't wait till G-Bag of the Day to happen and then tell me I didn't play what you thought I was supposed to play. I can't read your mind, man. Just let me know, bro. Let's connect. This is a community thing. Yeah, it happens all the time. It's a community thing, man. Help me out. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can find me there. Or you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here is Kawhi Leonard. Man, Kawhi Leonard was out there at a park recording some skateboarders doing some awesome tricks. One guy jumped over a whole table with his skateboard. It was amazing.
Hey! That guy.
Look at him.
He did it. There you go. Two in a row. That's how you finish it.
It's the way he just went all the way. Hey!
You're right. It's like he was falling.
Hey!
Splat!
I love the slow fade out for himself. He didn't just end. He petered out. That's great.
Oh my God.
That's him at the height of excitement.
Yeah, he really was excited too, by the way, man.
That's that Brazilian dude, Thiago, from the old Tony Hawk games.
That's what that is?
Oh. This guy is like old.
Really?
Yeah.
So got it.
You never lose it, bro.
Yeah.
I guess you never lose it.
I think New Balance has some skate shoes now.
Really?
All right.
I think that's the word.
You going to throw them
on? I think I will.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to have all those skate shoes like in the late 90s. The DCs.
Yeah,
the
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, my son wears those right now. He wears a lot of them. I guess it's popular again. I don't know. Anyway, LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Monday, Friday. Fellas, when did y'all start cursing?
Well, I have no idea.
Well, honestly, I think it was like on the opening kickoff, there was already a penalty. I was like, it's going to be a long one.
My man said third grade?
Yeah.
You think it was third grade for you?
Yeah, I remember it vividly.
Yeah, come on, tell me about it.
We were walking out to recess. Mill Plain Elementary School had just come out of the lunchroom.
Recess, you know it was good, bro.
And I asked my buddy if we had the soccer field that day or if it was the other class, and he said no. And I said, oh, believe. S word. You know.
Good for you, bro. Yeah.
Just a little PG-13 action there to get warmed up.
Yeah, I was in junior high when I started. Mine was a GD word.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Went right to the top of the
food chain. I had the table rolling. I had them boys rolling. Milk just shooting out there, literally slapping the tables. I was killing them boys. And then the assistant principal was right behind me as I was just dropping all GDs and stuff.
Oh,
just
what are you doing?
Killed my comedy routine. Tapped me on the shoulder and said, Mr. Alexander, come with me. Called my dad and everything. I got in trouble. Got a
GDs, huh?
Oh, yeah, for GDs. Yeah. You never say that one. You know, that's how he was feeling.
Yeah. GD idiot.
That's how he was feeling.
Not
bro.
An FCC violation, but definitely frowned upon.
Yeah, he did not like that.
I could not do it.
No FCC bio on
no,
that?
No, you can do it. Yeah, you can totally do it. It's just a social thing. See, my dad would let us do crap and heck, but no hell and no damn.
Okay, see, Pops let you do a little bit, though.
Yeah.
You guys don't remember any type of cursing when you started? Brothers, come on, man.
No, I'll tell you, my experience with my son Bennett, we were on a fishing boat together, and I think he was 11, and he didn't set the hook, and he looked at me, and I said, go ahead, and he goes, F!
That's right.
And I go, feel better? He goes, yeah, thanks. But he didn't. He didn't set this, and he just looked at me, and I said, "Go ahead."
Yeah,
because he saw me do it before, like not setting the hook, and so he just dropped it right there.
Like father, 11, like son,
11 years
it
old.
It had to have been at a young age, but I don't have like a moment where I remember that was it. But
you started cursing like real young, though. You think?
Knowing my dad, yeah. It was probably like elementary school.
You were a rebel out there.
I mean,
cursing
I was watching like R-rated movies and all this. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty young. Smoking cigarettes.
My parents were like, well, whatever.
The cool parents, man. Yeah. Wolchuk was having house parties at his place.
This kid was Bart Simpson.
This was all new for them. They had immigrated from South Africa. They're like, oh, American school system.
I can't judge. The other day, my 3-year-old asked me where the bleeping fruit chews were.
Hilarious!
Yeah. Where's my bleeping fruit chews? She had no idea.
What? Oh, my God.
Where's my bleeping?
Very impressive. She calls the fruit chews, by the way, Skittle-loops, which makes it hilarious. I don't know how she came up with that word, but that's what she calls them.
She used that word perfectly as well in the sentence. Like it made, like she knew exactly how to deploy that.
Yeah.
I think she's
been hanging out with her mom too much.
Yeah.
She's ahead of her time.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten in trouble for cursing?
I've gotten chewed out before.
Yeah.
Foul mouth. Were you young then?
Yeah, it was you're
young now, but you know.
Threatened like, oh, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap and all that.
Oh,
happened.
Yeah.
That happened to me, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an old
soap. Really? You got the soap in the mouth?
Yes.
Okay. I got switches on the butt.
How would you get the soap in your mouth? Like, how would that soap be applied? Okay, take a bar and just shove the bar in your mouth?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Like, what was it called? Like, it was the Dove. The Dove round.
But it's just like, they ask you to chew it, or you just kind of like just get the flavor in there and then
you just put it in your mouth and just let it sit there.
Yeah, my dad would like get like, will just soap up his hand and then he would just stick his fingers in my mouth and just rub his fingers in my mouth.
Oh my God.
That's
hardcore.
Then you're like, you're like almost being gagged a little bit. You're like, oh my gosh, I got fingers in my mouth.
Wow. So do you use profanity around your kids? I mean, your parents.
Only if it's like a selective, light, 100% very lighthearted moment. But Yeah. And I'll probably like not actually say it. I'll just whisper it.
Good for you, man. Yeah.
I remember one time my grandparents, my dad's adopted. We were in Caldwell, Texas, and my dad said something. We were at the breakfast table. I was a young kid. My dad said, you know, my grandmother was talking about some lady, and my dad goes, oh, she's an old B word. And my grandmother hit him with a skillet in the back of the head. She like turned and hit him. I dropped my dad.
It's like out of a cartoon.
Oh, she's just an old B word. And she turned and like batted him in the back of the head with a skillet.
Straight reaction. I got in trouble for cursing around my father yesterday.
Yesterday?
Oh. Sure did.
Uh-oh.
Cowboys brought the demons
out. Got a little reprimanded. Now, my brother's in town from California, and we were hanging out. Might have had a few pops before I pulled up on pops. Yeah. So I was already good and loose. Cowboy game was coming on and everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there was some flim-flam. I guess I was just regular talking, you know? I'm just doing my thing.
Right.
But when I left, I got a text from Dad.
No way!
Yeah, I got a text. Make sure you apologize. He's talking about my stepmom. Make sure you apologize to Miss Tina. That's my stepmom. Yeah, for some of your language, quote, cursing. Wow. It's warranted. Love you.
It's warranted.
Wow.
I said, what?
What?
What? I'm 40, fam. What are we talking about? So I'm going to troll them forever. Every time we have any event over there at the house, if I hear anybody curse, ooh, be quiet.
Don't say it.
I'm trolling now, bro.
That's pretty dang funny, dude.
Pops told me I can't cuss. I got in trouble. And then I found these kids cussing. Did you play like little league football and cuss in Little League?
No.
Or like basketball or whatever?
No. Dude, I remember going to one of my friend's games when he was playing peewee football, and I was just there watching, and we were in elementary school, and I just the culture around their team was players are cussing, coaches are cussing, it don't matter. And I'll never forget just how eye-opening it was, because my team, you were hearing like, you know, dadgummit and fiddlesticks.
We played YMCA football, so it was Young Men's Christian Association thing. So you had to pray before the games and stuff. So if you curse, you were gone. You couldn't, like, you said any kind of, they were gonna kick you out of the league for cursing.
You're outed.
That's funny that you say that coaches was all cool with the kids cursing and everything. To answer you, I did not do it at all.
No, I did not. Because
the referees out there and the coaches,
the coaches might, but. Yeah.
No, I barely coached in high school, cussed in high school football when I was out there because I didn't want a penalty for some weird thing. But listen to these darn kids. This is their chant. You didn't hear what he said?
I couldn't
make it out.
Knock a naysayer's head loose.
Oh, my
goodness. What? Oh, my God. They need some whoopings. Bro. I can't believe they're allowing this.
Yeah, you know, like they had a dance choreograph going on with it.
Yeah, they had the pads and everything, bro. I can't believe it. I can't believe it, bro.
You seen that Tykes show, right?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Friday Night Tykes. There would be a lot of swearing there.
They be cussing. The kids be cussing.
Oh, everybody was. Yeah.
I mean, it's really the parents. Moms. Like, the parents are the worst.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I can get that. But I'm talking about the kids out there just cussing. They're mic'd up and they're cussing.
That would trickle down to some of the kids.
Listen to this little kid. I ain't gonna tell you what he said, but that's cussing.
Stay down.
I mean, it is weird that we create a double standard where, like, the parents are gonna cuss and the kids can't cuss. I think that's just, like, confusing for little kids, you know? Yeah. I actually kind of support it.
You do?
If you cuss and you let your kids cuss, I know it's not socially acceptable, but that's the only problem with it is you don't want the kid embarrassing you by cussing. Well, that will look like you don't know what you're doing as a parent.
Right. If I did it out in public, it was no.
Yeah.
But in our, you know, little nucleus, in the safe space, okay.
I had my friend, he was like a foreign kid. His name is Song. He would just cuss all in front of his mom. Would cuss his mom out. She didn't know English.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she didn't know. He would just cuss, bro. Like, right, I'm there, man. I pulled him to the side. Man, don't do that when I'm around, bro. She's going to think I'm influencing you. You're the bad guy here, bro. I like this little chant right here by the kids, though.
What they going to say when you hit somebody?
Ooh!
What their mama going to say?
Ooh, my baby!
What they gonna say when we hit somebody? Oh, what they mama gonna say? Oh, my baby. That's hilarious. Jamie Foxx ends his Instagram live after Cowboys GM Jerry Jones started talking about the size of a player's unmentionables.
Yeah.
His private parts.
Yeah.
This is it.
I was asked about that.
This is Candyland.
Yeah.
Jerry's name is now Calvin. And Django was there. It's crazy. Jamie Foxx was in attendance watching the Cowboys practice with Jones. I don't know from what day this was, what year it was, but Jones could be heard in the background speaking. Jerry was talking about one of the players before the listing his NFL combine measures. Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Jay Diddy after this video.
I don't know what to call him.
Call him a damn good general manager who knows his players.
Jerry Jones said he looked pretty good right there. He showed balance, 5'9.5", 210 pounds, 4'4", and a 40.
Yeah.
9 3-inch hands.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there we go.
What else?
How many legs?
8.5 inches, bro.
There's a third leg.
Oh, my God. Jeez. Jerry, what are you doing, fam?
Hey, that's pretty good right there. He showed balance. 5'9.5", 210.
5'9", 210.
4'4", 1. Okay. 9 3-inch hands. 8.5 inches.
I like my personnel.
Jamie said, oops.
Yeah, he cuts it off right there.
Jamie said, oops.
This is where we're ending.
Man, this is Candyland, y'all.
So, I mean, who was that? Was that Felix Jones? Was that Marion Barber?
Hello, Dawson wanted to know who. So, who is it? Why didn't he tell us? Oh, my God. Oh, man, I don't know who it was. Jerry, you need to watch yourself, bro. You need to go do something, dog.
Retire.
You do something, bro. I'm seeing way too much of these situations with Jerry, and it's too borderline for me, dog. Mm. Too borderline.
Yeah.
Especially when that Arkansas photo came out. You need to chill, fam.
Yes. Crazy he can move that fast with all that extra weight in his pants.
Yes, he moved. All right, y'all. I'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. My name is Lucius Alexander. Before you drink, eat, and do not drive, okay?
Salute to that.
Yeah, because I blacked out.
Uh-oh.
I blacked out, bro. I have no idea what I did Saturday. I mean, Sunday night. I woke up like, how the hell did I get here? Oh, man, I was scared. All right, y'all, that's my time.
I was scared,
bro. All right.
There he goes, Lucius Alexander, LA Live, every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Yeah, Emmitt Smith, the prototype there, the 300-pounder for the waist down. He's just been looking for the next Emmitt.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
We are heading for two guys, one booth, though.
He's doing pro comps.
Yeah. Gosh, it's real Emmitt right there.
Two guys, one booth, man. The best sounds from a Cowboy game day from start to finish. This one's quite a doozy, folks, and it's next here in the nation.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.